Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. The only thing I like better than baseball is saving people money. Start saving now with a cash out refinance at thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Thanksgiving is just around the corner. Are you all set? You've been piling up those Schnucks Rewards points all year. What better time to cash them in? You could have Schnucks pay for the Thanksgiving turkey or a pumpkin pie from the best bakery in St. Louis. Maybe even your entire holiday meal, all because you're a Schnucks Rewards member. Whether you're hosting the whole family or bringing a special dish to their house, make sure you're all set for Thanksgiving. Head to Schnucks and cash in those rewards points. Think Schnucks. Welcome into my podcast with Dan O'Neill, formerly of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and now a noted author. He had a blues book not too long ago that was out, and now he has a book out on the 1980 Cardinals teams. Celebration, the magic of the Cardinals in the 1980s. As we know, Cardinals baseball, it's more than just a pastime in St. Louis, and it really got going again under Whitey Herzog, and that's really much of the focus of the book, but all the trades that Whitey made, some of the big names that came to St. Louis, whether you're talking about a Willie McGee or an Ozzie Smith, the impact of Bob Forsch, and all that is covered in the book. And there's also a chance to see some of these living legends on Wednesday night, as Dan will be doing a Q&A with some of those 1980 great players, and also a look at his book as well. Reminder for Blues fans, make one of the 10 area Hotshots locations your home for Blues hockey this year. All the games on dozens of TVs. You'll enjoy great specials on Jack Daniel's cocktails, Blues sampler appetizers, and much more. Hotshots, proud partner of the Blues, home of Blues fans since 1990. We're coming to you, brilliant clarity thanks to Lordo's Diamonds, located in the heart of Ladue. And with Christmas right around the corner, see their selection, lordosdiamonds.com. That's lordosdiamonds.com. When we come back, it's a visit with Dan O'Neill. Celebrate 125 years of history at St. Louis Union Station with free movies every weekend in October and November near the lake. Get a bird's eye view of all that history when you take a spin on the St. Louis Wheel. Soaring 200 feet into the air, you'll appreciate the iconic skyline inside a climate-controlled gondola. Enjoy a round of golf at the 18-hole miniature golf course. Other attractions include the St. Louis Carousel and the Fire and Light Show. Visit St. Louis UnionStation.com. Come celebrate. Hair Saloon for Men, proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Home base in St. Louis, founded in 1997. 16 locations. You'll receive the perfect haircut, complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, complimentary shoe shine, all for just $22. And for an extra $5, get a stress-relieving scalp massage. Hair Saloon for Men. 16 locations. There's one near you. Hair Saloon for Men. A book that is out, if you love baseball, is Celebration, the Magic of the Cardinals in the 1980s. The author is Dan O'Neill, formerly of the Post-Dispatch. He's written a blues book and now this Cardinals book, and joins us on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. As always, Dan, always, and I mean always, a pleasure to visit with you. We used to do a radio show together. It was fun when we did that, and now we have a chance to talk a little baseball again. But how are you?
I'm good. I'm good, Dan, and I feel the same. We did used to do that baseball radio show. It was a lot of fun, and I don't get to talk to you or see you very much anymore, so it's great to visit with you.
Miss you down at the ballpark, but you're still obviously very, very connected to sports here in St. Louis. I want to start with the book, and then you also have a program coming up with some of the guys from those great 1980s teams, highlighted and headlined by Whitey Herzog, for an event coming up. But let's talk about this, the celebration, the magic of the Cardinals in the 1980s. Why did you want to write this book? Why did you think it would be a good fit for Cardinal fans?
Well, you know, Dan, I was looking around for another topic. I did the blues book a couple of years ago. And that book, of course, was on the history of the blues and an illustrated timeline kind of thing, coffee table book. So I was just looking for another project and bounced a couple ideas around. And I was kind of surprised to find that there wasn't really a book about the 80s. Now, some of the principals have their individual books. Whitey Herzog has at least a couple books, and Ozzie Smith has a book, etc. But there really wasn't a book that sort of took a look at what I think really started the entire quote-unquote Cardinals Nation thing, and that was the 1980s when the Cardinals kind of reinvented baseball in St. Louis, and they, you know, they when the decade started, they were drawing just over 1 million fans, and by the end of the decade, they were drawing over 3 million. So it was a, you know, crossroads kind of decade or point in Cardinals history. You know, 3 World Series, a bunch of colorful characters and Hall of Fame players. So it was just a natural for me, and I loved doing those kinds of things. I covered the Cardinals toward the latter part of the decade. And, of course, I'm a St. Louis native and was always a fan before I became a sports writer. So it was something I couldn't wait to kind of dive into.
It really, and I'm in total agreement with you, the start of this really began the Cardinal Nation and the Cardinal way, if you will, with Whitey coming in, cleaning house, and just making household changes and introducing this exciting style of baseball and winning in 82 and 85 and 87. 1982 wins the World Series. But when you think about, to me, the 80s, it's the first name that comes to mind, and that's Whitey Herzog.
Yeah, without a doubt, he was pretty much the author of it. You know, it was an interesting transition because the Cardinals had that great success, Dan, in the 60s, and then went to back-to-back World Series in the late 60s. Then they went the entire 1970s decade without going to the postseason, and even more so, the last 5 seasons of the 70s, they finished double-digit games out of first place. So they weren't really ever in contention. And when the 80s began, Ken Boyer was their manager. They got off to a tough start in 1980. And then Gussie Bush, who was still very involved with the team at that point, decided to make the change. And at the same time, they were firing Ken Boyer in between games of a doubleheader in Montreal. They were introducing Whitey as their new manager back at Grant's Farm in 1980, and it took off from there. I mean, Whitey, there's never been a more dynamic period in terms of player movement. You know, in a year's time, from December 1980 to December 1981, Whitey moved 31 players back and forth. And so once the winter of 80 arrived, he made a bunch of big trades, a lot of new players, and really changed the recipe for the franchise. I mean, he took a team that was – the Cardinals had a lot of good hitters in the late 70s. And in 1980, they finished that season with 6 300 hitters on their team.
Right.
And so they had a lot of good – they had talent, but they just didn't have – they didn't have it in all the right places. They weren't an especially good defensive team. They weren't a team that had a lot of speed. They had Ken Reitz at third base and Teddy Simmons behind the plate. So they didn't have a lot of speed. Whitey came in, not only looked at Busch Stadium 2, which was an artificial turf field at the time, big stadium, big field, but pretty much all the stadiums and all the fields in the National League at that time were similar kind of ballparks. And he came up with a formula that was built on speed, defense, and pitching. And by 1981, the Cardinals were there. I mean, you know, it's funny. We look back, and they went to the World Series 3 times in the 80s. They won in 82.
Could have been 4, obviously. This is where you're going, I'm sure.
Well, they lost Game 7 in 85, and they lost Game 7 in 87. And so when you look at it, you know, they were 2 games from being a team that won 3 times. You know, they'd be considered this great dynasty had they been able to win 2 more games. But, you know, that was all based on a team that was just dramatically different from the kind of baseball they play now. I mean, you know, last year's team hit 210 home runs. Whitey's team from 1981 through 1990 didn't hit as many as 100 home runs.
Right.
So it was a different, and you know this, Dan, because you see the game every day. Back in the 80s, the ball was in play much more than it is now. And the Cardinals could catch it, pitch it, and outrun it better than any team in baseball at the time.
When you think about when Whitey took hold of also being the GM and just made all kinds of deals, whether it was Raleigh Fingers, whether it was Joaquin Andujar, Ozzie Smith, trading Ted Simmons, which probably was not a great one when you look back at his tenure, but it did work for both sides. What was the turning point when you think about Whitey Ball and getting this thing over the hump and making it the excitement that we saw in terms of the deals that he made?
Well, I think you'd have to first point to the Ozzie Smith deal. It's funny, you know, you mentioned he made a ton of deals, made a lot of big deals. And really, for the most part, when you look back at them, they weren't great deals. But it wasn't always about player for player, quality for quality. It was more of Whitey trying to change the culture here, because in the late 70s, as that decade came to an end, as we talked, I mean, the Cardinals had some terrific talent. But they just didn't talk. You know, Whitey came in, he wanted them to do two things: show up on time and work their butts off. And the teams in the 70s didn't necessarily adhere to that formula. But he came in, that's what he wanted. So he changed the culture. So he made trades. They didn't work out all that great for the Cardinals. I mean, you look at the trade he made with Ted Simmons in December of 1980. He sent Ted Simmons, Pete Vukovich, and Raleigh Fingers to the Brewers, and he got back Dave LaPointe, Sixto Lascano, and David Green. Now, Vukovich became the Cy Young Award winner for the Brewers in 82, the American League Cy Young Award winner, and Fingers was the American League Cy Young Award winner in 81. And then, of course, Simmons was their cleanup hitter for three or four seasons. So that was not a trade that wound up being really good for the Cardinals, but it was part of a thing where he changed the culture, moved a lot of players out, and what he moved in were players who could run, who could steal bases, and who could field. And of course, the backbone of all of that was Ozzie Smith when he traded Gary Templeton to the Padres in 81, in the winter of 81. And was able to get Ozzie Smith, who comes here, wins 13 gold gloves, steals 580 bases, and winds up in the Hall of Fame. So, you'd have to say it started with Ozzie, but then when you throw in, he trades Bob Sykes to the Yankees for a young double-A outfielder named Willie McGee. Willie McGee comes here, becomes a most valuable player in 85, two-time batting champion. He had guys like, they had so many switch hitters. He calls up Tommy Herz, a switch hitter, can steal bases. Terry Pendleton, a switch hitter, can steal bases. Vince Coleman, a switch hitter, who stole bases. He made the deal for Lonnie Smith, who was really their catalyst in 82 and finished second in the most valuable player voting in the National League. Another guy could steal bases and disrupt things. And they just generated so much. They put so much pressure on the other team's defense. That's just something you really don't see happen a lot in today's game. I don't mean that in a way that, like an old man sitting in the balcony. But it's just the game's changed a lot in the last 30 years. The Cardinals were certainly a different kind of ball club in the 80s.
What did you learn, Dan, doing the book about this decade of baseball that maybe you didn't know before?
Well, I think one of the highlights of the book is I did get a hold of a lot of the players and coaches, et cetera. And what I did was I just asked them to give me just their own little vignette or favorite story from the 80s. It didn't necessarily have to be tied to a particular event that was in the book, but just one of their favorite stories. And one thing I found out, Dan, was just how revered Bob Forsch was on those teams.
Absolutely.
Forsch was never, he's never going to be in Cooperstown. He wasn't quite on the level with Bob Gibson or Steve Carlton or somebody like that. But he was just a consistently good performer and just always a great presence in their clubhouse. And I'll give you an example how he kept guys loose and guys just looked up to him. Yeah, a couple incidents, really. The story John Stuper gave me, I thought maybe he'd tell me a story about 1982 when he went out and pitched game 6 at Busch Stadium and there were 2 long rain delays. There were 5 hours worth of delays, but he just kept going out there and wound up pitching a complete game and the Cardinals advanced to game 7. He saved their bullpen, but he told me about a 1983 game where he made the start against Fernando Valenzuela in Los Angeles. And Valenzuela at the time, probably the biggest star in the game. And it was a national game of the week, and Stuper's still a young pitcher establishing himself. And, he was all geared up for the game and everything. And so he goes out, and he can't throw a strike. And he ends up walking the first 4 batters without throwing a strike, so Whitey's got to go out and get him and takes him out of the game. So Stuper comes in the dugout and goes to the end of the bench. And you might imagine just disappointed, frustrated, mad at himself, trying to figure out what just happened. And he's not sitting there very long before Bob Forsch walks down, sits next to him and says, Stoop, I don't know how he can take you out of that game. You had a no-hitter going. So, he would do things like that. And at the same time in 1987, people recall Cardinals were in a great National League Championship Series with the San Francisco Giants, and the focal point of the series through the first few games was Jeffrey Leonard, who hit home runs in each of the first 4 games and created his one flap down home run trot, which just absolutely infuriated Cardinals fans in St. Louis and kind of annoyed the heck out of the Cardinals as well. So they get into game 3 in San Francisco. They fall behind 4-0. The series is 1-1, so it's really a pivotal moment in the series. They're behind 4-0. Whitey goes to the bullpen. He brings in Forsch out of the bullpen. And before he came in, Forsch was talking to Ken Daly and on the bench, and he told him, if I get a chance, I'm going to take care of this one flap down business. So Forsch comes into the game. There's already a runner on. The Cardinals are behind 4-0. And the first guy he faces is Jeffrey Leonard, drills him with a fastball right in his shoulder. And that was the end of the one flap down stuff.
Absolutely.
The Cardinals came back and won that game with Jim Lindemann hitting a big home run. So they came back and won that game. And a lot of people look back on that as a pivotal moment in the series. Jeffrey Leonard hit another home run in game 4, but he did not do the one flap down trot. So, Forsch was, that's one thing I always knew. I knew Bob Forsch. I knew he was a leader and things like that. But I didn't realize just how big of a presence he was on those clubs.
What was your favorite part of doing this book? What did you really enjoy as you dug into it?
Well, to be honest, what I really enjoyed was getting in touch with these guys and talking to some of these guys who I hadn't talked to in so many years. Guys like Tom Pagnozzi and Tom Lawless and Rick Horton, who I still see once in a while. And, just a lot of players. Ozzy gave me a couple stories. Dave Phillips, the umpire who lives in St. Louis, gave me a couple stories. But that was the fun part. I enjoyed hearing their stories because you never knew. In some instances, they would talk about that particular instance, like Glenn Brummer told me about his steal of home in 85. And that's such a memorable moment in Cardinals history. But in some cases, Tom Lawless told me a story about how he left a cheeseburger on third base for umpire Eric Gregg,
right,
who, as you know, was a hefty guy. And before a game started one night, he, Tom Lawless and Gene Gieselman kind of conspired to do this. And so Gieselman gave Lawless a cheeseburger. Lawless was playing third base that day. So he trotted out, and while the teams were warming up, he left the cheeseburger on third base for Eric Gregg, who played along. Eric Gregg was such a great guy. All the players loved him because he was just a good guy. But he played along and picked up the cheeseburger and acted like he was taking a bite out of it. it in. So, you know, stuff like that is just if you're a baseball fan, that's the kind of stuff you don't normally hear about. You know, I mean, besides all the stats and all the things like that, it's just kind of fun to get stories like that.
Now, you also have an event not only to promote the book, but also for fans of those great teams, Whitey in the 1980s. Tell us a little bit about that event coming up.
Yeah, Dan, I'm hoping to talk you into coming, but it's Wednesday night. It's at 7 p.m. at the Grand El, which is just this nice little intimate theater right by the Fox Theater, next to the Sheldon Theater off of Grand there. And the name of the event, Celebration. But I'll do my presentation, which is about 40 minutes, includes video highlights and pictures from some of these things we've talked about in the 1980s. And then when I finish up my presentation, I'm going to bring Whitey Herzog, Tom Lawless, Rick Horton, and Andy Van Slyke out on stage. And then we'll do kind of a roundtable discussion and kick it around for another 30, 40 minutes. And kind of just reminisce and remember what great moments and what great teams they had in the 80s. You know, people might not realize it, but the Cardinals had the best record in the National League from 1980 through 1989. So, you know, for a decade, as we talked earlier, when you think about that, and then you think about they had a World Series win and they had two other World Series where they were ahead 3-2 going into game six. It's amazing, you know, and then there was 1981, Dan. Where
that's what I was saying before. It could have been four. That's what I was thinking. You're going there with 81.
Five.
Yeah.
It could have been five because in 81, they had the strike that lasted 6 weeks. And the baseball solution to that was to split the season into two. So the Cardinals actually finished that season that overall season with the best record in their division, but they didn't go to the postseason because they didn't finish first in either one of the two segments.
Right.
And then there was 1989. You know, they're right in the thick of it, going to Chicago, and then they're in Montreal. Todd Worrell closes out a victory for them. They're a game and a half out of first place, but Worrell got hurt, was lost for the rest of the season. And a few days later, they went into a six-game losing streak and sort of fell out of the race. But if Worrell doesn't get hurt in 89, they're probably in that all the way to the end, and maybe they go to another World Series.
How about best places to get the book, Dan, and also the tickets for Wednesday night?
Well, the tickets for Wednesday night are at MetroTix.com, Dan, so they can just anybody who would like to attend, I'd love to have them, and they can go to MetroTix.com and look for the Grand El there. And the tickets are $30 for just general admission. And then there's a VIP rate of $65, and you get a copy of the book Celebration with the $65 ticket. And the book really is available around town, Dan, you know, just wherever superb writing is is offered, but no kidding. I mean, Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or they can go to readypress.com. That's readypress.com and order the book, and I'll bring it right to your door.
Outstanding. Dan, good luck with the event on Wednesday, and looking forward to diving into the book. Thanks so much.
Dan, thanks for having me, buddy.